RAF officer Ivo Tander played a major part in what became known as the Great Escape, a mass breakout by Allied airmen from a German prisoner of war camp in March 1944. But this was only one of many escapes by the Czech pilot, who evidently had nerves of steel and a lot of luck. I recently spoke with his daughter, Petra Tander, who came to our studios with a copy of In the Heavens and in Hell, a book by Tander and the famous photographer Ladislav Sitensky. In the first half of a two-part interview, Petra Tander described her father's remarkable adventures during the war.
He'd done his pilot training here, just as his, military service. But he hadn't stayed in the Air Force, so it wasn't very available to him to get out, as it was for many pilots. But a man called Karel Slama, who had done training with him and who had become a good friend, they met up and they decided to escape.
And how did they escape?
The long route through Slovakia, Hungary, Turkey, Beirut, that route. Quite a few people did it.
And he joined the RAF in 1940, and if I understand it right, 2 years later, he was shot down over occupied France.
No, over the Channel, on his way to Cherbourg.
And what became of him then?
Well, he ended up at Stalag III, and he terribly, terribly wanted to escape. I was just looking at the book in preparation, and what struck me was how unbelievably they all worked together, how unselfish they were. You know, they really worked together. So, for example, he just wanted terribly to escape. So one of the British officers says, okay, there's a little chance of jumping off the train, and here is a handful of raisins, a bar of chocolate and a compass in case you manage it. Well, he didn't. The window was nailed down and he didn't work. So when he got to the camp, he gave that in. I just think, I would have eaten it. And they were hungry, you know. And many, many occasions I thought, gosh, they really all pulled together in such a nice way.
Well, this jail, this Stalag Luft 3, was known as being a jail that couldn't be escaped from. But of course, he was one of about 75 British officers who escaped in what later became known as the Great Escape, isn't that right?
61 got out. I think 75 actually got out, and they caught 15 straight away. 61 got away from the camp, and they shot 50. Three got to England. Two Norwegians and a Dutchman.
Well, many people will know the movie The Great Escape.
Yes.
What was your father's view of the film?
Oh, he thought it was awful. I just want to boast a little bit. This is quite interesting, perhaps, for Czechs. There were about 20 Czechs in the camp. Three of them were on the escape. And 20 people didn't have to draw lots because, you know, hundreds of people worked on the escape. And 20 people had done so much, mainly digging, that they didn't have to escape. And all three Czechs that escaped were in the 20. So Valenta, Dvořák, and my father.
And for people who don't know the story, how did they get out of this notorious jail?
Well, they dug three tunnels. When a tunnel was planned, there was kind of excitement that the Germans sensed, and they kind of knew something was going on. And so they thought, we'll dig three. So they called them Tom, Dick and Harry. My father was almost from the very beginning digging Harry, which is the one that they did escape on. The digging was extraordinarily hard work, and it would sometimes cave in. My father was once caved in on him for quite a long time. He took a week off digging for that after that.
He escaped and was recaptured, I believe.
Very shortly after.
Very shortly afterwards. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Okay. He was a kind of prominent escaper, in as much as they thought they had a really good chance. They had train tickets. He went with someone called Johnny Stauer, and they were supposed to get on a train. Well, as you perhaps know, even from the film, that was correct. There was an air raid during the escape, and they had electricity down there. This electricity went out. These men, some of them had never been down there. I mean, they got claustrophobia, and they had two stations that were a little bit bigger, 2 meters by 60, where they changed because they had they had rails, and you lay down on a little thing on the rails, and they pulled you to the next station. And they couldn't be too long because the rope might break. And in fact, the rope did break. And Johnny Stauer was already out, patiently waiting, while my father had to climb. Somebody panicked and kicked and broke the rope. And he had to climb, you know, go down his belly down and tie up the rope. And he came. And altogether, they came up very late. You perhaps know from the film. I mean, there were a lot of things that were correct. The tunnel was short. It wasn't in the woods. So again, how unselfish they were after, you know, years for some of them. Daddy, a year and a half. You've been in this awful little muddy hole with 4,000 other men, and suddenly you're out. But no, hang on a minute, you've got to wait and pull a rope so the next man knows you can come, because they were really only metres away from the watchtower. So they all did that. And the train had gone by the time, so they decided to walk. But they were kitted out to go by train and little shoes and everything. There was a couple of metres of snow. It was March, but there was a lot of snow. But nevertheless, they walked in the night and it made a hole in the snow in the day and slept. And they got to the Czech border, and there were just piles and piles of people. Hitler had brought in some enormous amount of soldiers, all the Hitlerjungen. The place was just swarming with people.
It was a huge manhunt.
They then did get on a train. They had coupons for food, and they even got some food. Quite famous little story at the train station. They had something to eat, and there was a Gestapo check. And my father thought, I'm not going to sit here waiting for them to come and ask for my papers. So he got up and he went over to the Gestapo and said, showed him his papers and said, look, I think they've made a mistake with our tickets. You could only buy tickets for short distances for some reason in Germany at the time. And the Gestapo man took them to where the young woman had sold them the tickets, started shouting at her, can't you see these are foreigners and you've sold them the wrong ticket and all this kind of thing. They had amazingly good papers. My father was supposed to be an engineer working for Focke-Wulf, and Johnny Stauer, who came from Argentina and spoke perfect Spanish, was supposed to be a Spaniard also working there. He was going with my father for a holiday in Prague. That was the story. There was a check a passport control on the train, and they passed. And they were just, the people who had checked their documents were just leaving, and one of them, the last one, turned round and said, do you know what? That man, Johnny Stauer, has exactly the same trousers on as the man we captured earlier today. And it was Australian, kind of plum-coloured uniform that they thought might pass as civilian. So they came back and properly checked, and then they saw that their jackets weren't lined. They had chocolate. You didn't stand a chance. So they were taken to Liberec and put in jail. And there were four men already in the jail, four from the Great Escape.
And your father was then sent to
jail? So six of them in the prison cell in Liberec. And after a few days, four of them were taken out. And a little while later, Johnny Stauer was taken. And my father was saying, this isn't right, I'm a British officer. They were threatening to execute Czechs as traitors, and he assumed they'd been returned to the camp. In fact, all five were taken out and shot. So my father survived only because the Gestapo in Prague asked to interview him. So they drove to Pankratz. He first of all said that he hadn't escaped from Czechoslovakia. He'd have been in England anyway before the war. He said he hadn't hung out with the Czechs at all. He'd hoped to get a British squadron. He was talking, his English was quite good, and he didn't mix with these Czechs at all, never spoke to any of them. He was in an all-Czech squadron. And there was a Czech who had got himself into some kind of trouble, and he had stolen a Spitfire and flown and joined the Nazis. And he was later executed as a traitor. But this man, my father knew him quite well because they'd left France together on the same ship, and my father was very friendly. Anyway, they brought this man in. My father thought, oh my God, my story's going to be blown here. And the man said, never seen him before in my life. And this same man gave in so many people and betrayed so many people. But my father, he didn't betray. And so that was lucky, because otherwise they would have tortured him, I presume, or whatever. They wanted names of Czechs in England in the RAF.
Your father survived all of that miraculously.
Oh, it goes on and on.
Tell us something, please, about your mum.
My mother is half Jewish. Her father, who's no longer alive, but her father was Jewish. And she was a very good skier. And what was she, 18, 19 years old? I mean, she was quite young. And she happened, when Hitler came into Czechoslovakia, to be in Switzerland skiing in an English-organized race, Kandahar race. And one of her brothers was also out of the country on his honeymoon in Oslo, and they somehow communicated, and he said, go to England. And she arrived in England with two pairs of skis and an evening dress. You put on an evening dress for prize giving. And she worked for the Czechoslovak, the magazine, for some time.
And your parents met in the UK?
This man, Sitensky, who wrote the book, he's the same age as my mother, month apart. And they knew each other well. And he knew my father. He was on that same ship leaving France. And he would sometimes say, oh, I'm going to London and I'll see Yezhena Asherowa. And my father would say, give her my best regards. Because he knew Zika, mummy's middle brother. And one day he was with somebody else walking in London on a little break. And they bumped into mummy. And she says, oh, you're the man who keeps sending your best regards. And she always says, well, send him my best regards. I don't know who the hell he is, but send him my best regards back. So my father said, well, we have to fix this. And he invited her to lunch. She said, I've already had lunch. So he went to have lunch with his friends. Then he went back to the magazine and asked if she'd have dinner. And she said, no, I'm already having somebody. So my father joined them. So they went out as a threesome. Then one more date as a threesome. And then he was shot down over the channel. My mother, she fell in love with him the moment she saw him. And she was working on the magazine, and suddenly they put on her desk, they put his necrologue. What's necrologue in English?
Obituary.
Obituary, yes.
And, mistakenly, of course.
Well, yes, they didn't hear from him. Twice they didn't hear from him for a long time. Twice they thought he was dead. That would have been the first time. And then after the Great Escape, they didn't hear from him.
So basically, she met your father, fell in love with him, and didn't see him for how many years?
When this happened, that she got his obituary, she left the magazine and joined the RAF. My father says she once wanted to replace me. So what would it have been? 2 years, something like that. Not awfully long.
I presume they got married here after the war?
No, what happened was he got back. He was sentenced to death by the Germans and sent to Kolditz to wait execution, which was supposed to be in 99 days. And actually, I think I worked it out, the 99 days must have been up. He was still at Kolditz when the Americans did the sortie to rescue Kolditz. On his birthday, on the 16th of April, the Americans arrived. And I'm not quite sure exactly what day he got back, but he was rescued on the 16th of April. It must have taken a little while to get back. And he heard that the friend that he had hung out with, my mother had been good friends with, had got married. So he assumed it was to my mother, found out it wasn't. And on the 3rd of May, they got married. And my father said, "Eshe ne padla pusa." We hadn't actually kissed yet.
Wow.
But they just got married.
Amazing story.
Next Monday, in part two of this interview, Petra Tonder recalls her parents' tribulations in post-1948 Czechoslovakia, her family members' dramatic escapes from the country, and much more.